There is a stunning quote from Joe Biden that demonstrates a disease infecting our culture. He said this, "We have to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt." Well, this is disease thinking, and it thinks it's wise with money, but the opposite is true. It's just destroying our nation. And the thing with our relationship with God is God wants you to be wise with the money that he entrusts you with. So I'm going to be doing a short series on money before I go verse by verse through Ephesians next. And this morning I'm focusing on the wisdom path of godly budgeting. And the blessing of budget will change your life for the better. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Budget as boss means blessing. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that we do be blessed and that we do learn from this in this money series I'm doing. Before I get to your word of Ephesians, I ask that you speak to us through your scriptures and through these sermons. Speak to us. Change our hearts. Change our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, there is an aphorism that I want to start with, and an aphorism is a brief, loaded statement of a principle. And the one to launch this sermon with is this: those who are failing to plan are planning to fail. If you start a project without something that you need, you got a problem. But if you plan beforehand, your assessment's going to let you know if you have what it takes to achieve your goals. Otherwise, you're not leading your circumstances. Circumstances are leading you, and you become a victim of circumstance. This happens with money. Managing money with a budget is to have an ally in your fight for victory over circumstances. Now, there are other allies like investments and savings plans and prudent purchases. All these things have biblical bases for them. But among them, the often overlooked and underappreciated budget is a powerful warrior who always has your back. Your budget's mission is to protect your finances. It helps you prosper. And when you give your budget the power, making it the boss, boss budget calls the right shots. Submitting keeps you winning. But you got to know that budget is not a tyrant. Your budget is your friend. All right? You understand that? Say, my budget is my friend. Though a strict money manager, it's what you need for blessing. When I was growing up, I was not taught about budgeting. When younger, I lived the other way, and money just seemed to disappear after I earned it. But I thought I was saving. I made plenty of money, but I constantly felt like I lived in need. With no strict budget as my ally, remember, ally, I always had too much month at the end of my money. Do you have too much month at the end of your money? Is your outgo exceeding your income so your upkeep is becoming your downfall? It's a common problem in our day. But here's what we want. We want savings. We want to easily get things fixed when they break. We want to buy groceries whenever we want. We want to invest, all these types of things. And we also want a good testimony. Beyond having a low income or financial emergencies that take their toll, beyond those, people see your basic spending habits. They're watching you. They see. And people see when your spending lifestyle doesn't match your true financial state. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 through 12 tells you the proper way to be when among the unsaved. It says, work to provide and also take care of your affairs. Well, the unsaved are going to notice your bad money habits. Becoming a burden to other people just magnifies it. The same passage says, don't be a burden. You know, your bad spending habits can make you become one. And it also affects biblical giving. If you're crippled by overspending, you're going to be unable to give to minister to other people in their emergencies, and you will undergive in the support of church ministry. Unwise spending is a chisel, and it's chipping away your financial stability at all levels. Consistently spending away your money in unwise ways also affects your freedom and your peace of mind. You know, you start to take on worry, and you start to become anxious. You have unsurety. You start to argue with maybe people in the family. You start making up creative excuses. You have discontentment, regret, all this money problem. It affects your marriage, the way you communicate. So you got to look at yourself. Are you an impulse purchaser? Well, impulse buying is a deadly spider. It promises you freedom by whispering in your ear, buy this now, pay later. And the freedom promise is really the spider's web. Now, you might reap now, but you're going to weep later. And your budget is your plan for victory over all these things. What it is, a budget, is wisdom at work. Wisdom is actually built into it. Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare your work and get everything ready for yourself in the work field. Then build your house. So biblical wisdom tells you, get your plan together, manage your resources, make sure you're ready as you proceed. Your wise plan says, I only have a certain amount of resources to save or to spend. And Proverbs 24:3-4 speaks of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. It says, by wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So to manage your money in real wisdom, you must have real understanding, and you need the knowledge to reap the riches. You must put all of it into action. Now, I had to discover the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom. Though I have made and make below the national average when it comes to income, by applying the knowledge and the understanding, the wisdom of budgeting, our family has had our rooms filled with resources for living within our means. But I had to discover it. Before getting married, I bought a used book by a Christian financial counselor. It was called What Husbands Wish Their Wives Knew About Money. But I didn't buy it for my wife. I bought it for me, so I'd know about money. And the biggest thing that I took away from that book was the importance and the blessing of a budget. So the book was an amazing book. It gave testimonies of turned around lives. People barely making minimum wage were enabled to do more than survive, they thrived. Multi-millionaires who had huge estates, many expensive cars, boats, traveled all over the world on amazing vacations. They were stressed because their outgo exceeded their income, with their upkeep becoming their downfall. They were in debt with nothing left to save or invest in a future retirement. But they had life-changing benefits from simply budgeting. Amazing stories. And so I had to discover this wisdom and then do it. Proverbs 21:20 says, there is desirable treasure in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Another proverb, 27:23-27, it directly deals with budgeting your resources so that you don't keep losing them. It says, know well the condition of your flocks. Well, for you, for us, the wisdom connection means know well the condition of your money. Understand and be wise about your money. Assess, plan. And then it says, and pay attention to your herds. It's the same thing. Pay attention to your money. And it says, why? Because riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered. Well, wisdom is saying you need to budget because resources diminish and they need to be replenished. Wise management. Budgeting resources gets you long-term blessing. And it says, the lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field, and there will be goat's milk enough for your food, for the food of your household, and sustenance for your maidens. And simplified, it's know your money situation. Pay attention to it. Make wise decisions with it, and you're going to get blessed. Joseph of the Old Testament practiced this principle. God told Joseph 7 years of abundant harvest was coming. But then he said it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And so the Pharaoh asked Joseph, what do we do? Joseph said, choose a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. Store up the grain for food. The grain will be reserved for the land against the 7 years of famine so that the land will not perish through the famine. And so Pharaoh appointed Joseph to be the wise man. So Joseph implemented the budget for blessing. He put the grain resources of Egypt into a savings account. They were controlled by the budget plan. And after storing up income, there came the time of need. And what happened is that Joseph had succeeded in planning to succeed. His outgo did not exceed his income. And because of it, Pharaoh prospered in the hard times. In Luke 14:2, Jesus said, which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So here's the thing. Each month of your life is like a building project. So follow me on this. You are building a tower of cost calculations. And the tower has this long name, and this is what it's called. Wise spending required for wise living based on what I make tower. All right? So this is the name of the tower you're building. Wise spending required for wise living based on what I make tower. And your wisdom goal for building it is to do so by spending money on what is required for living based on what you have and what you make. Spending what is required for living are things like bills, insurance, clothes, food, car repairs, minor emergencies, all these kinds of things. And you build this tower each month by sticking to what you have and what you make. And Boss Budgets is going to help you complete your tower by the end of each month. It will help you fill the rooms with treasure each month. It will be like having herds that produce for you every month. It will be like having enough grain in your storehouses every month. And you will have more money left at the end of your month than month left at the end of your money. But if you're building a different tower, the unstable, non-budgeting kind, you lose to your wants and your preferences dictating what to do with your money instead of listening to wisdom. Happens all the time. And your tower will always be crumbling under the curse of, I'll spend whatever I want because I want to. And back in the days of Joseph, people everywhere experienced the same famine. Everybody did. But Joseph had stored the grain. And during the first 7 years of abundance, the rest of the people of Egypt did not have the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom that Joseph had. And they spent it away. They were not budgeting to handle coming needs. So while Joseph had the budgeting resources, Pharaoh sold grain to the people through Joseph's wisdom. And then the people finally ran out of money. So they sold their property to Pharaoh to get grain. And when they ran out of property, they got trapped in a debt spiral, finally selling themselves and their own children into slavery under Pharaoh. And they did this to eat. Pharaoh became owner of all the money, all the possessions, and all the people of Egypt. They became enslaved. But with the same kind of wise insight like Joseph, you foresee that lack awaits you at the end of each month if you do not budget your income according to your wise spending required for wise living based on what I make tower. So the way you build each month determines whether you're completing this tower for having enough money to take care of essentials and emergencies. So since you know this, the first step is you got to decide to do it. And that means everyone in the family must recognize that budget is boss. Everyone must adopt the mindset or it's not going to work. There will be money leaks. And you know what leaks mean? That budget is not boss. Leaks mean, you know, you keep going down the same dead-end road. And next, follow your budget and never, ever stop following it. Submit and commit. Submit to budget. Commit to consulting your monthly budget before making any spending decision. Doesn't matter if something is wonderful. If you don't have it budgeted, then wait. Doesn't matter if you're tired and so you want to go out to eat. If you don't have money budgeted for it, then wait. The issue is not whether you have lots of money. I want to make sure that gets in and sinks down deep. The issue is not whether you have lots of money. The issue is that you do not have money budgeted for it, so you must wait. If not, you'll continue drowning in the money problem swamp. So if you really think that you need that thing, then budget for it. And when you get enough money in its budget category, well, then buy it. And here's what you've done. You've succeeded in not losing money for real needs, and you've also stayed out of the death grip of debt, and you've avoided the interest payment scam. Now, when it comes to food, you only think you need to eat out because you really only want to eat out. But committing to wisdom and obeying boss budget so that you will be blessed in the long run, you do not eat out just because you want to. Instead, you eat out because it's budgeted. So when the time comes to eat out according to your budget, then reward yourself with the blessing from properly building your tower. In other words, though you don't need to eat out and spend 5 to 20 times what you would spend at home for the same meal, but since you want to, then budgeting for it blesses you to do so, but also in many, many, many more ways. Your wonderful protector, your budget, which blesses you and cares for you, may tell you that you can only afford to eat out once a month. Well, then give it a hug and eat out once a month. You may only afford to eat out once every 2 months. Good. You're being blessed because you're building your strong tower each month. So every other month, you have the added reward of a restaurant visit built into that month's tower. And you may be able to budget to eat out 1, 2, 3, 4 times a week or even more, but you still must budget for it if you want the blessings from your budget to permeate your life. You must submit, you must commit to your godly budget. Also, commit to discipline and being patient. Fight to discipline yourself to wait to only make purchases when your budget gives you the okay. Discipline, waiting, and being patient, these are not options. Impulse buying never stops tempting you. I mean, it whispers its most famous and effective lie in your ears. Do it now, because somehow it's all going to work out. That's its most effective lie. It says, hey, forget your budget just this one time. You want this now, don't you? Somehow it's all going to work out. Well, that's not your friend. That's your enemy. So slap it down and look to your faithful friend, budget, and ask, hey, are we good to do this now? Boss Budget's an honest counselor. Has your blessings in mind if it says no? You don't have the money available to spend on that. You have money, but it's not available. And so your budget knows you, and so it cuts you off at the argument path that it sees coming, and it says, it doesn't matter if we have lots of money. Trust it when it says, just wait, and you'll be blessed. Now, for all this blessing to happen, you're going to need a good working budget. Many ways to do it. But all budgets have similar traits, and a good budget takes into account your estimated income before allotting where and how it needs to be spent. There's also a breakdown of your expenditures, where they're going to go. And you can find good budgeting apps that help you calculate, implement, and stick to your budget. There's many out there. But I'm going to give some basic guidelines from experience which reflect our family's successful budget. The first thing to do is calculate an overall average for your monthly income. Easy to do if you get a paycheck. Calculate how much money you bring home each month. And if your employer withholds tax, then you know how much your take-home pay is per month. If your income fluctuates, then the process of finding a base income amount is going to be different. And also, add in any other income sources from investments and other businesses and so forth, calculating your income the same way. Take your monthly income from all sources over the previous 12 months and then average out that total. This is going to be your average monthly income that you're going to work with. This is how much money there is to work with to build each monthly tower and make sure each comes to completion by month's end. Next, make a list of expenditures of necessity for each month. These are called your fixed expenditures. And to come up with this, make a list of the monthly bills according to the monthly spending over the last year. And by the way, this is going to be online, this sermon. So if you've not done this and you want to do the budget, you can review through this over and over again, as many times as you want. It'll be on the internet probably forever. And so you come up with that, you make a list of all your monthly bills according to your monthly spending over the last year, and then there's going to be some fluctuating costs that are going to need to be averaged out, like the water bill and the electricity bill. Each monthly bill category should have an average, and the average is called fixed, even though it may fluctuate. These fixed amounts are what must be paid each month, no matter what. That's one heading, fixed expenses, all right? An example of three headings that we use are top priorities, fixed expenses, and variable expenses. Now, under top priorities, we put giving and savings and emergency fund. Now, giving is put aside for the ministry of God's word, according to 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8, and other passages. Now, there have been times that we've given over 10%. There have been times that we gave less than 10%. But we always give. You need to always give. And savings category is for short-term unexpected expenditures within 5 years. Many experts recommend putting 5 to 10% minimum of your take-home pay in savings. We put 5%. And then the emergency fund category is for large or long-term emergencies. And this would include a 3 to 6 month money buffer that should be added to continually, and it should be added to without fail. put at least 5% in the emergency fund every month, and far more if possible. One good Christian financial advisor, Dave Ramsey, maybe you've heard of him, says this is the first item that must be attended to fully. This is the first one. So those are our top priorities. But investments and a retirement fund category and future provision for children to go to college or financial help in their future are things that can also be put into top priorities category. Now I'm going to go over our full fixed expenses list. We have home insurance, medical insurance, life insurance, car insurance, water bill, electricity bill, rent or mortgage payment. For most people, this usually has home insurance, property tax, and school tax as part of it. Then there's income tax for being self-employed based on last year's income tax divided by 12 months for 12 monthly increments. Property tax based on last year's property tax divided by 12 months, 12-month increments. Telephone, car inspection and registration based on total for the year divided by 12 months. And internet. Now, the variable expenses. We have groceries, gas, car repair, tires and oil changes. Listen, you must budget for car maintenance. You must. We aim for 1,000 to always be in this category. Because car stuff will eat you alive over time. It just whittles away at your finances. And anytime we have excess in another variable expense category, it goes here first. Appliance repair and replacement. But major appliance replacement is in what is called a sinking fund, which I'm going to get to. Then there's haircuts, clothing, entertainment, which encompasses that eating out, movies, music, things like that. Allowance for each member of the family, nutritional supplements, medical and dental for co-pays and out-of-pocket, general miscellaneous, homeschool, gifts, and then that sinking fund that I mentioned. It's for future expenses like septic tank maintenance, which we have to have, something like maybe repainting the house, you could plan that's going to need to happen someday in the future, roof repairs, you know, that insurance may not cover, and so forth. This could also include your refrigerator or dishwasher. Sinking fund is a total estimated amount of foreseen expenses divided by the number of months until the time arrives for it. And this closely matches our plan for building and completing our monthly tower. Now, with your budget layout, your goal is to make each payment that is due in each budget category by month's end. Each month, you know your tower is built because you know you have met your goal in each category. And the budget dictated what to do, right? So you did it. And because you did it, you have succeeded in not allowing your outgo to exceed your income. And so when you spend out of each category throughout the month, enter the amount spent into the budget record and keep an eye on this whole process throughout the month. Now, some budgeting methods teach that you should zero out each category by moving any excess into savings. And this is for when bills fluctuate up higher than expected. I mean, you can transfer money from savings back into that category. And it works. But we do it differently. What we don't spend in our projected spending, like for electricity on low-use months or entertainment, we'll move the leftover amount that did not need to be spent over into the being part of the next month's money in that exact same category. And then the next month, some money is already there. I mean, this is helpful with things like electricity bills, water bills, where they may be lower in one season, higher the next. But remember, the savings account is for small, immediate, unexpected expenditures within the next 5 years so that it can be used to help cover the fluctuations where certain expenditures spike up and down for some reason. So your savings and also your emergency fund buffer account helps with surprises. And what does that do? It brings further victory over that enemy called circumstance. And if for some reason that we go over what is budgeted in a category, we go over it, and we haven't used some savings to cover it, we'll fix this by taking out money from another category, such as from entertainment or miscellaneous, to cover the overage in a category. This is important. Shifting money from another category is allowable, but requires thinking through the importance through wisdom. Gives you time to look at it. For example, giving up entertainment money to buy food or clothes. And see, the budget allows this in wisdom without being arbitrary. Not just wasting money. And finally, because of profit-making issues like reduced income, getting fired, or being hit hard by emergencies, it's sometimes necessary to revise your budget to reduce spending. And this is part of the blessing of your boss budget. And there's one more thing. If you're going to practice the wisdom of living by a budget, then don't wait. I'm serious. Bless yourself. Begin taking budget steps now to build your wise spending required for wise living based on what you make, tower, and reap the benefits. Amen?